Today's Amud is Megillah Chavava Min Aleph. We're holding on the bottom of Chafei Mebeis. We're about to start the fourth parak of the parak B'nei Ya'ir. So says the Mishnah, and really the place of this Mishnah over here, the Meiri explains, is somewhat of a cheshbon. He says that we just got through speaking out many of the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah. So now the Mishnah, the Gemara, the Mishnah wants to speak out the halachas of the Dalet Parshias. So, being that we read the Dalet Parshias in the shul, so now the Mishnah just goes on a slight tangent and we discuss the halachas of a Beis HaKnesses. So we're going to discuss the halachas of a shul, and then eventually we're going to get back to the halachas of Kriyas HaTorah and discuss the halachas of the Dalet Parshias. But first, the halachas of a shul. So says the Mishnah, that B'nei Ha'ir Shemachru Ruchayva Shalir, Laikchim B'dam of Beis HaKnesses. So really we're going to talk about the halachas of selling a shul, and selling other things for a shul, what things you could buy with a shul, what things you're allowed to do with a shul. This Mishnah discusses the Seder, the hierarchy of what you're allowed to sell and what you're allowed to buy with the money that you sold. So the Mishnah says that if the Bnei Ha'ir, if they sell the Rechayv Shalir, they sell the town square. Now the town square, Rashi points out, and we'll see soon in the Gemara, on Chafal Faman Aleph, that that's the place where they used to gather to daven on fast days, also my Maimadois, we'll get to that on Amud Aleph. But on fast days, so they used to daven when there was a drought in Eretz Yisrael, so they would go to the town square and they would daven. So it had some level of Kedusha, of Tashmishei Mitzvah. It was like a Beis HaKnesses. Still, if you sold the Rechayv Shalir, so Malin B'Kaidesh, you have to go up in Kedusha, but you could buy a shul. A shul is considered Malin B'Kaidesh, even though they're both Tashmishei Mitzvah. They're both used for places of davening. A Beis HaKnesses is used more permanently, so a Beis HaKnesses is considered to be Malin B'Kaidesh. It's considered to have more Kedusha, and it's following the rule of Malin B'Kaidesh. To buy something else, you wouldn't be able to. But you could buy a shul, that's considered being Malin B'Kaidesh. Beis HaKnesses, if you sell a shul, so like Chin Teva, so you could use the money that you earned from buying the shul, and you could buy a Teva. A Teva is Machlekes Rishayinim, if we're referring to the Bima, or if we're referring to the Aron Kodesh. Both Pshatim Lamais are brought Lahalacha, and Shulchan Aruch, and Aruch Chaim, and Semen Kufnan Gimel Sef Beis. But either way, so this Teva, or the Bima, that's already considered Tashmishei Kedusha. It's not there to facilitate a mitzvah of davening like a shul, it's there to facilitate to hold up the Torah. Whether it's the Bima or the Aron Kodesh, it's there to hold up the Torah. So that's already, the Torah is considered not just a mitzvah, it's considered Kedusha. The Teva is considered Tashmishei Kedusha. Tashmishei Kedusha is greater than Tashmishei Mitzvah. So therefore, if you sell a shul, you could use the money to buy a Bima. That's considered being Malin B'Kodesh. Teva like chen mitpachis. If you sell a teva, which like as we said is tashmishei kedusha, so you could use the money to buy mitpachis. Mitpachis, also different shitas. It's perhaps referring to like when you have an Ashkenazi sefer Torah. It's like the coat, the cover of the sefer Torah, or for the Rambam and Pirshei Mishnayos. It's mashma like what we have by Sfardi sefer Torah. So you have like a handkerchief that goes on top of the Torah, and you use it to hold the Torah during Kriyas HaTorah. So that could be what the Mishnah means when it says mitpachis. Either way, it's some sort of tashmishei kedusha. It's something that's used to hold the Torah or to cover the Torah. So if you sell a teva, you could use the money to buy mitpachis. They're both tashmishei kedusha, but mitpachis is considered like a level up. Mitpachis, if you sell one of these mitpachis, so yikchu svarim, so you could buy a nach. A nach is not just tashmishei kedusha, it's kedusha atzma, it's the actual kedusha. So you could use them, you could sell them at pachos, and you could use the money to buy svarim referring to a nach. So you could buy a nach with the money, that's already buying kedusha itself. And svarim like chin taira. That's also going to be, for sure going to be considered malin b'kaidesh. You could sell a nach, and you could use the money to buy a sefer taira. That's considered malin b'kaidesh. They're both kedusha, but the kedusha of a sefer taira, is greater than the kedusha of a nach, and therefore you could use the money from the nach, and you could buy a sefer taira. However, says the Mishnah, aval im machrus taira, lo yikchus svarim. Because the rule is Malim HaKadosh Ve'ein Marid, and you can't go down in Kedusha. So if you sell Sefer Torah, you can't use the money to buy a Nach. That's going down. And we're going to go through the whole list that we just said backwards now. Svarim, if you have a Nach and you sell it, you can't use the money Lo Yikchu Mitbachos to buy Mitbachos. That's going down. Mitbachos Lo Yikchu Teva. Teva Lo Yikchu Beis HaKnesses. And Beis HaKnesses Lo Yikchu Es HaRachayv. In all these cases, you're going down in Kedusha. So you cannot use the money to buy something that's lower in its kedusha, because malim bekodesh ve'ein mayridin, you can't go down. And concludes the Mishnah v'chei v'maysarehen, and the same halacha applies to the, any leftover money. Let's say a person sold a nach to buy a sefer Torah, and there's leftover money. It wasn't the full price. I don't know how that would happen exactly, but it wasn't. Let's say it wasn't the whatever for whatever reason. It wasn't. There's still some leftover money. So that leftover money is also considered money that you got from the Nach, that you cannot use that money now to buy mitbachos or to buy a bima or to buy a shul. That money is has the kedusha of you have to treat it like it came from the Nach, and therefore you could only use that money to buy a sefer Torah. Even with the leftover money, the halacha is going to be the same. Now there's a shtickel stira in the Mishnah Minei Ubei that the Baal Ma'ar points out. The Baal Ma'ar brings from Rabbeinu Ephraim. The Baal Ma'ar is on Chafeyam Abeis Dibur Masul Kasaf. And over there, so the Baal Ma'ar, he brings from Rabbeinu Ephraim that he points out that there's a shtickel stira. What's the halacha? Are you allowed to buy something that has the same level of Kedusha? The Mishnah in the Reisha tells us that everything you sell, you have to buy the next thing up. What about buying the thing on the same level? It's mashma from the Mishnah. You're not allowed to do that. You have to buy the next thing up. If you sell a Rechayva Shalir, you have to buy a basic Neses. If you sell Svarim, you have to buy a Sefer Torah. Could you buy other Svarim? It's mashma from the Mishnah, not. You can't use it for the same level. But then the Mishnah says the other direction. Then it says that if you sell a Sefer Torah, you can't buy Svarim. If you sell Svarim, you can't buy a Mitbachas. What's the halacha if you want to sell Svarim and buy more Svarim? It's mashma from the Seifa that would be allowed. It says you can't use the money to buy mitbachis. You can't use the money from the Svarim to buy mitbachis. To buy Svarim, it sounds like that would be mutter. So to steer in the Mishnah, we'll have to see if there's any rayas when we get to the Gemara, if there's any rayas as to what the halacha is. It says the Gemara now, that b'nei ha'ir shemachru rechayva shalir. So we mentioned in the Mishnah that if they sell the rechayv, the town square, so you have to use the money to buy a shul. So now says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Chana Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Zu Divrei Rabbi Nachum Bar Yosi Stumta. This is all the Shita of Rabbi Nachum Bar Yosi Stumta. Stumta means that there's a lot of Stam Mishnayis that he's the author of. This is all his Shita. As opposed to Avach Chacham and Maimrem, that HaRachayv Ein Bay Mishum Kedusha. You could sell a Rachayv, you could sell a town square, you could buy whatever you want. A Rachayv does not have Kedusha. Says the Gemara. Now, what's the machlekes? Says the Gemara. Rav Menachem Bar Yosi, my time. Why does Rav Menachem Bar Yosi hold that a town square has kedusha? What's kedusha about a town square? Says the Gemara. Hayo v'ha'am mispalim boy betanyos uvmamades. The reason why there's kedusha, as we started to explain when we read the Mishnah, is because it's a miksas. Makim Tfila, it's a place where sometimes people go to daven on a tainus when there's a drought. So we're going to learn soon Mesachas Tainus. So over there it discusses at a certain point when there's a drought. So it's that we make fast days when you get to Rosh Chodesh Kislev and there's still no rain. We actually just had it this past year in Eretz Yisrael. We got to Rosh Chodesh Kislev and there was still not enough rain or no rain. So they added in a new tefillah. They added in Anenu into Shemini Esrei so that we should have some rain. Mamish, the next day it rained, and the next day, and the next day. The next like 3-4 days in a row it rained. Baruch Hashem, Gishmei Bracha. But the point is that when you have these fast days, when there's a drought in Eretz Yisrael or other places as well, maybe the minhag is not to actually make these fasts. It's not so really common that other places in the world really actually need water like that. It rains all year round. But if you have such a situation where you need rain and there's no rain, so you make these tanyas, so they would go daven in the Rechayv Shalir. That's what it says in the Gemara and Meseches Tainis, we'll learn soon. So that's one example where they would daven in the Rechayv Shalir. Another time when they would daven in the Rechayv Shalir is Maimadois. Maimadois is basically like this. The Karban Tamid we know was brought every single day. And it was brought for all of Klal Yisrael, the Karban Tamid, once in the morning, once in the afternoon, and it was brought for all of Klal Yisrael. Now really there's a halacha that when you bring a Karban, you're supposed to be standing by the Karban. Now what do you do if you have a Karban that's being brought for all of Klal Yisrael? So what they did is they made Mishmaris, 24 Mishmaris of Yisraelim, and they were considered the Anshei Maimed. They were the people, they were the Anshei Maimed. Their role was to be, like, to almost take responsibility for the carbon for all of Klal Yisrael. And there was 24 Mishmaris. Some of the group of each Mishmar would go into the Beis HaMikdash as the carbon tamu was being brought, to be there when the carbon was being brought. And another chelik of the group of each Mishmar would go in the Rechayv HaShalir, and they would daven that the carbon should be accepted, and they would daven. So that's the Anshei Maimed. That's my Maimedis. So both these cases, that's when they would daven in the Rechayv HaShalir, and that's why Rav Menachem Bar Yosi Stumta holds that there's kedusha in the Rechayv HaShalir. So why are the Rabbanan chaylik? Rabbanan who a cry ba alma? They say that no, that doesn't give kedusha. That's just by a cry. The Tanya, he says, only if you have a situation where there's a drought. It's not like it happens every year, Baruch Hashem. So therefore, that's only by a cry. And even my Maimedis, which is technically it's every single day. You have my Maimedis every single day, but there was 24 different Mishmaris. So in each Rechayv HaShalir, so it was only the next time that group is going to go again is going to be in another 6 months, is going to be in another 24 weeks. And therefore, it's only like twice a year. So that's also, it's only back cry. And therefore, the Chachamim say that that doesn't give the Rechayv HaShalir Kedusha. You're not limited to using the money to buying a shul. This is our Mishnah says you're limited, that you have to use the money, dafka, for something else. You have to be malin b'kodesh, you have to buy at least a shul. That's only lefi Rabbi Menachem Bar Yosi Stumta. Says the Gemara now, that Beis HaKnesses like Chenteva. We mentioned in the Mishnah that if you sell a shul, so you have to buy a teva. But it's mavur in the Mishnah that you're allowed to sell a shul. You're allowed to sell a shul. So Amar Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani, Amar Rabbi Yonasan, that Leishanu Ela Beis HaKnesses Shel Kfarim. This at the Mishnah is mavur that you're allowed to sell a shul that's only a shul that's inside of a kfar, that's inside of a village. Like we had in the beginning of the Masechta, kfar is like a small town. The kfar makdimin liyoy makanisa. So the shul is inside of the small villages. So then there's such a halacha that you're allowed to sell it, and then you have to use the money, of course, to buy something that's malim b'kodesh. But you're allowed to sell a shul. Aval Beis HaKnesses Shel Krachin. But when it comes to a shul that's inside of a krach, if it comes to a shul that's inside of a big city that people come through all the time, so Kevan de Me'alma Asulei, since people come in from all over the world and they daven in that shul, like Or HaChaim in Muncie, Shiners, or you know different shuls, Landau's or Shtibs in Yerushalayim, the Shtibulach. So you have these different shuls that people come from all over the world and they daven in these shuls. So then Loimatsu Mizabnilei. So then you're not allowed to sell it. The Havalei the Rabbim, because then already it's considered a Beis HaKnesses the Rabbim. So from Rashi, it's mashma a little bit like Tosis' second shot, that it's a Beis HaKnesses the Rabbim means that everybody contributes to the shul. Everybody contributes. People come from all over the world, and everybody contributes to the expenses of the shul, and therefore it's a Beis HaKnesses the Rabbim, and that city has no right to sell it. It's owned by everybody. It's the whole world comes and they daven there, or even if they didn't actually contribute financially to the shul, but lamaisa, when the shul was made, so it was made al das the rabbin, because everyone knows that we're going to invite everybody to come over to our shul. People are going to come from all over. And therefore, being that it was al das the rabbin, it was so therefore the people in that city, they have no right to sell the shul. So this that our Mishnah says, you could sell a shul and with the money, you have to be malim b'kodesh, it's dafka beis HaKnesses the kfarim, but a beis HaKnesses the krachim is like a beis HaKnesses the rabbin, and therefore you're not allowed to sell it. Amr of Ashi, says the Gemara of Ashi said over, that Hai Bei Kenishta, the Masa Mechasio, this shul of Masa Mechasio, which was a big city, Afal Gavda Me'almu Asula, even though it's true that people come from all over the world to daven in this shul in Masa Mechasio, Kevan Da Daita Didika Asu, why are they coming to the shul? They're coming because they want to see me, they're all coming for me, so Ibeina Mizabninale. So therefore, if I want to, I'm allowed to sell it. There you have an exception to the rule. That even though we just said, a Beis HaKnesses, the Rabbim, a Beis HaKnesses that's inside of a krach, you're not allowed to sell, if everyone's coming for a specific person, so then that person is considered like the Bailim over the shul, and he would have the right to sell it. And that's what Rav Ashi said, that he would be able to technically sell the shul, even though it's a shul that a lot of people are coming from all over the world. Now ask the Gemara Meisve. Ask the Gemara Kasha on Rabbi Yonasan. Rabbi Yonasan just told us that a shul that's inside of a kracht, that's inside of a big city, so you're not allowed to sell. Okay? Rav Ashi told us an exception to the rule. But otherwise, min hastam, a shul, that it's a place that people come from all over the world, so then you're not allowed to sell it. You're not allowed to sell the shul. The shul is considered like owned by everybody. So says the Gemara, we have a kasha from a braisa. The braisa says like this, that Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yehuda said over, Maisa bebeis haknesas shel torsiyim. There was one time a story with a beis haknesas of torsiyim's coppersmiths. Shahayu of Yerushalayim. It was in Yerushalayim. It was a shul of coppersmiths in Yerushalayim. Shemacharuhu l'Rebbe Eliezer, that they sold the shul to Rebbe Eliezer. V'asaba kol tzarachav. And Rebbe Eliezer did in the shul whatever he wanted. So we're going to learn later in the parak about what exactly you're allowed to do inside of a shul that's sold when you buy it, when you inside that makom, inside the place that used to be the shul, which things are you allowed to do there? The sheet of Rabbi Yehuda is that you're allowed to do mamish kol trachav. So this is like Rabbi Yehuda l'shitasai. So Rabbi Eliezer, he once the shul was sold, they sold it to Rabbi Eliezer. It wasn't the shul anymore. So now Rabbi Eliezer was also about kol trachav. Now what's the question? The question is v'ha'hasam de krachim hava. Where was the shul? We just said that the shul was in Yerushalayim. Yerushalayim's a Baruch Hashem, a very big city. It's a very, very, very big city. So that's a basic necessity to Krachim. It's a basic necessity. We have people from all over the world that come through, by definition, L'chaira. And therefore, it's a basic necessity to Rabbim. You're not allowed to sell it according to Rabbi Yonasan. So we have a cash on Rabbi Yonasan from this Braisa. You see, even a basic necessity, it's inside of a Krach, you are allowed to sell. Says the Gemara, no, that this is also another exception to the rule. Hahibe kanishta zuti hava. That was like a small little shul. V'inu avdua. And these coppersmiths, they made it, and they made it for themselves. Meaning, of course, a beis hakneses inside of a krach minastam is a shul that's going to be open. People are going to be coming from all over the world. But you could have a private shul. There is such a thing as having a private shul, even though it happens to be located inside of a krach. And people, when they come to Yerushalayim, they weren't coming to this shul. This wasn't one of their stops. They weren't stopping off at this shul. This was a shul that the coppersmiths made, and they were the only ones that davened there. So even though it's true that it was inside of a krach, that doesn't automatically make it that now it's a beis haknesses, the krachim, and memela, they were allowed to sell it. But really, minastam, a beis haknesses is inside of a krach, that all people from all over the world are coming through, so then you're not allowed to sell it. As the Gemara Meisve, is that really true? We have a kasha. The pasuk says, "Beis eretz mechuzaschem." So, pasuk describing nigei batim, and it says that when are these nigoyim relevant? It's when you're in eretz achuzaschem, when you're in your land of inheritance. So, we darshan from this pasuk that achuzaschem mitame benigam. It's only when there's bailim, and not just bailim. There has to be clear, defined bailim. It has to be like an achuza, like something that you own. It has to be something which has clearly defined bailim. Achuzaschem mitame benegaim. Only if you have a house with clearly defined bailim, so then it becomes tame. It has the potential to become tame with nigei batim. Ve'en Yerushalayim mitame benegaim. However, Yerushalayim cannot be mitame benegaim. We'll see soon exactly why, but the Braisa seems to be indicating that it's because it's publicly owned. There's no defined bailim of Yerushalayim. And on that, Amar Rabbi Yehuda, ani lo shamati elo makom mikdash bilvad. Then no, I heard that it's only the Beis HaMikdash, the Makom HaMikdash, that doesn't have Nigei Batim. But the rest of Yerushalayim has Nigei Batim. So says the Gemara, that's the Braisa. Now says the Gemara, it's mashma from this conversation, that HaBatei Kenesiyos HaBatei Midrashos Mitamin. That's only the Makom HaMikdash that doesn't have Tumas Negayim. But shuls and batei midrashos, even though we're talking about Yerushalayim, so they have the ability to become tameh with negayim. Now the question is am I? If Rabbi Yonasan is right, that beis haknesses the krachim, you're not allowed to sell because it's like it's owned by the whole world. So am I? So why does it have tumas negayim? How the krachin havu? These shuls are in a krach, and there's no clearly defined bailim because you're telling me you can't sell it. If you can't sell it, it means you're telling me it's because it's owned by everybody. If it's owned by everybody, so then there's no clearly defined bailim. If it's no clearly defined bailim, it should not have tumas negayim. So there's a connection, an interesting connection that there is between tumas negayim and selling a shul. If you can't can sell the shul, so they shouldn't have Tumas Nagon, because they both seem to have a common denominator, that you can't sell a shul if there's no one owner, if it's owned by everybody, and also something that's owned by everybody, if there's no clear owner, doesn't have Tumas Saras. So how do you have it that these shuls, which are inside of a krach, they're inside Yerushalayim, that you're not allowed to sell it, because there's no clear bialim, but at the same time, it's mashim from Rabbi Yehuda, that it does have Tumas Nagon? So stir me neubay. So says, or it's a kash under b'yinason. Elamaya must be. You are allowed to sell it. There is such a thing as having an owner of a shul in Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara that Ema Amr Yehuda ani lo shemati elamakim mekudesh bilvad. That no, that really Rabbi Yehuda wasn't talking about the Makom HaMikdash. He didn't say Makom HaMikdash Bilvad, he said Makom HaMikdash, and in Echanami, he meant the shuls. He was talking about the shuls of Yerushalayim. That the shuls of Yerushalayim do not have Tumas Negaim. And the reason is Hagufa, because of Rabbi Yonasan. Because you can't sell it, because people are coming from all over the world, and therefore there's no clearly defined owners, and therefore it does not have Tumas Saras. So the Machlekes between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda is really just about the places that are, so to speak, chol in Yerushalayim, if there's such a thing. The places that aren't shuls in Yerushalayim. According to the Tanakhama, those places do not have Tumas Negaim. There's no clearly defined bialim, even of the standard land in Eretz Yisrael. And according to Rabbi Yehuda, no, that does have clearly defined bialim. The only part that's not Mitam and Benigoyim is Dafka the shuls, and that's because of Rabbi Yonasan Salacha that you can't sell a shul, the Krachim, because it's owned by everybody. So Bemaika Mifligi, so now from here on we're sort of gonna leave the sugya of selling a shul, now we're just gonna go on a little bit of a tangent and just explaining what this machlaikis about Negaim is. So Bemaika Mifligi, what's this machlaikis between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda about whether or not the non-shuls in Yerushalayim, whether or not it's Mitam and Benigoyim, is it considered to have clearly defined by Bailim, says the Gemara, that Tanakhama Savar Le Nishalka Yerushalayim L'Shvatim. The Tanakhama holds that Yerushalayim is not owned by any individual Shevet. When they divided up Bizmanya Yeshua, when they divided up Eretz Yisrael, and everybody got their Chelek, Yerushalayim is owned by Klal Yisrael. It's not owned by any specific Shevet, or at least it's not. Every Shevet has equal rights to it, even though it could be, the Chazanish points out, that even though it could be that it's in the Chelek of Yehuda and Binyamin, as we'll see soon, but everybody has a Zchus Hishtamshus. No one could kick anyone out. Everybody has rights to use Yerushalayim. You can, and we'll see later, you can't even charge rent to someone else in Yerushalayim. Everyone has ownership, as the Zchus to use Yerushalayim, and therefore Yerushalayim is considered as a place that does not have clearly defined bialim. Not just the shuls in Yerushalayim. Even the simple houses in Yerushalayim, they do not have clearly defined bialim, because it was late nischalka l'shvatim. It doesn't have a zchus by any one shevet. It's all of Klal Yisrael together, and therefore the Tanakhama holds that Yerushalayim does not have Tumas Negaim. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, then nischalka Yerushalayim l'shvatim. Rabbi Yehuda holds that no, it's not true. When they gave out the Eretz Yisrael, so they gave Yehuda and Binyamin. They're the ones specifically who divided Yerushalayim, and it's theirs mamish legamri. And they're the only ones who have a zchus. No one could just from a different shevet could just come and then go into someone else's house. Everybody, it's dafka Yehuda and Binyamin. They're the ones who have rights over each chelik of Yerushalayim. They divided it. Ubepukta dahani tanai, which is really a machlekes about whether or not Yerushalayim was divided l'shvatim or not divided l'shvatim. It's really a machlekes tanayim. The Tani we learned in the Braisa, that my haya b'chalka shal Yehuda, what was in, which part of Harabayis was in the chelek of Yehuda? We know Yehuda and Binyamin are the ones who divided up Yerushalayim. So which parts, says this Tana, which parts were in the chelek of Yehuda? So says the Tana, Harabayis, there was the, as we'll see, the east side of Harabayis, Halishkais, the various Lishkais in the Beis HaMikdash, Va'azarais, the various Azarais, the Ezras Nashim, Ezras Yisrael, Ezras Kayanim, all the way until the Ezras Kayanim. That was all in the Chelek of Yehuda. Uma haya b'chalka shah Binyamin. And what was in Binyamin's Chelek? Binyamin's Chelek was the west side. So it was the Ulam, really the Ulam, even all the way until the Ezras Kayanim. Could I have to look at a picture? But the Braisa sort of leaves out the place in between the Ulam and the Ezra's Kohanim. It seems like really that was part of Binyamin's Chilek, the Ulam all the way until the Ezra's Kohanim. The Heichal, that was also part of Binyamin's Chilek, Ubeis Kodesh HaKadoshim, he had the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and everything west of that, the Ritva points out also, everything west of that, that was all in the Chilek of Binyamin. Uretzua Haisa Yaitzes Mechalko Shal Yehuda Unechnasas Mechalko Shal Binyamin. So if you look at a picture, it's easier to just picture it in your head. But basically, if you go with these lines that the Braisa just illustrated, so it's going to come out that really the Mizbeach is in Binyamin's Chelek. However, says the Braisa, and even though the Mizbeach should have been in Binyamin's Chelek, there was a strip that of Yehuda that protruded westward into Chelek of Binyamin, and it was all really part of Yehuda's Chelek, so he had this extra strip of the Beis HaMikdash, and it was in this strip, says the Braisa, and says the Braisa, Ubam Mizbeach Banoi, it was on this strip that Yehuda had, which really almost, in a picture, it looks like it's like protruding into Binyamin's Chelek, it was in that strip, on that strip, that's where the Mizbeach was built. And Binyamin used to have tremendous pain. He wished that this part would be in his chilek. He knew Beruach HaKodesh that he wasn't going to get this chilek, and he was mitzdayer about it. He wanted this to be his. Shenemar, like the pasuk says, Chayfif alav kol hayom. It was kilu. He was like scratching his head in agony every day that he wanted this ritzua. And lafichach was because bischus that he had this tsar and he wanted this chilek. It was zacha Binyamin v'nasa ushpizchan hashem. It was Gufa because of this that he was Zeichet that at least he had the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That Kodesh HaKadoshim was in his Chelek that he was Zeichet to from this Tsar that he had. Al Kapanim, this Tana clearly holds that Yerushalayim was Nischal Kalashvatim. It was divided between Yehuda and Yamin. And so this is the Tana who holds that Yerushalayim Nischalku L'Shvatim. V'hai Tana, whereas the following Tana Savar, Loi Nischalku Yerushalayim L'Shvatim. Now Yerushalayim was not divided to the Shvatim. The Tana we learned in the Braisa. The Tana says that Ein Maskirim Batim B'Yerushalayim. That you're not allowed to charge rent for people when they're Oilel Regel, so you're not allowed to make them pay rent when they come to Yerushalayim. And the reason why you're not allowed to charge them is Mimnei She'ein on Shalahen, simply because it's not yours. Who are you to charge rent? It's your land. Yerushalayim wasn't Nischalku L'Shvatim. It's not owned by any individual. It's owned by the Tzibur. It's owned by Klal Yisrael. And therefore, you have no right to charge them rent. So this Tana obviously holds that Yerushalayim was not Nischalku L'Shvatim. Everybody has equal zchus, ishtamshus of Yerushalayim. And therefore, the ones who are living there do not have right to charge rent to the people who are Eilel Rego. Rabbi Lazar, Aymer, that af loy mitais. Not only can you not charge them rent, you can't even charge them for the bed that they're sleeping on. And in the Tez Yishanim and Yuma, Yebezim and Aleph, where the Gemara over there brings this Braisa, so the Tez Yishanim over there says, doesn't just mean the beds, it means also the closet space and everything, the drawers. You're not allowed to charge them for it. And the way the Taisus Arash explains over there in Yuma is because since the Bailims, quote unquote, are living there all year round and they're not paying any rent, and it's not really theirs, so therefore they have to allow the Eilel Regalim to at least get to use the beds and the closets and the drawers for free and not charge them for it. However, because it's very difficult, and they're giving a service to these Eilel Regalim, so says the Tana, Lefichach, therefore, Eireis Kachem, Bali Ushpizchin, Neitlin Eisem Bizraya. So therefore there was a Takanas Chazal, that they said that the skins of the Kachem, that the Eilel Regalim are now going to receive certain karbanos, you get to keep the skin, So the host gets those skins when they come back to the host's house, so they have to give the skin to the host. That's their consolation prize, that they get to keep this skin. And Amar Abaye, the Abaye said that Shma Mino Ayrich Arod LeMishbach Inash Gufo Umashcha Bushpize. You see that's the Derech Eretz, that when someone hosts you, you give them a gift. You give them a gulfa, a jar, umashcha, you give them the hides of the animals that you shechted. You give them a gift. You give them a wine bottle, a candy platter, some flowers, whatever it is. You're supposed to give your host a gift. That's what you see from this halacha. But Al Kapanu, the reason why we're bringing all this is because you see it's a machlekas tanayim about whether Yerushalayim was Nischalku L'Shvatim or was it not Nischalku L'Shvatim. And we're saying that this this is what the machlokes before between the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yehuda is based off of. The Tanakhama says that the entire Yerushalayim does not have Tumas Negayim, not just the shuls. The whole Yerushalayim doesn't have Tumas Negayim. The reason why Yerushalayim doesn't have Tumas Negayim is because there's no defined Bailim. Yerushalayim is not Neschalka L'Shvatim. Everybody has equal rights to Yerushalayim, and therefore the entirety of Yerushalayim does not have Tumas Negayim. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda said, that it's only the shuls that don't have Tumas Negayim, because the shuls is the basic nessus, the krach. You're not allowed to sell it because it's like owned by everybody in the world, so therefore the shuls don't have Tumas Negayim, but the rest of Yerushalayim, it does have clearly defined Bailim. It's either Yehuda or it's Binyamin, and being that it has clearly defined Bailim, so therefore the rest of Yerushalayim is Metame Benegam. The Machlekes is based off of this Machlekes Tanayim that we just brought, if Yerushalayim was Nischalka L'Shvatim or if it wasn't Nischalka L'Shvatim. So we'll stop here, but we'll just mention briefly something that we mentioned when we learned Yuma Yud Beis Amin Aleph, and that is that even though it comes out from this Gemara, at least from the second Tana, that you're not allowed to charge rent for houses in Yerushalayim, the Kaftan of Aferach says that even though that's the halacha, we paskin like this man damar, that you're not allowed to charge rent, Yerushalayim is light nischal kulishvatim, and you're not allowed to charge rent for houses in Yerushalayim, that doesn't mean that now anybody who's paying rent in Yerushalayim could go to their baldira and say, okay, I'm not paying you anymore, I'm done, I just learned Megillah Chavavah Min Aleph, and it says that you're not allowed to charge me rent, so I'm not paying you rent anymore, says the Kaftan of Aferach in Perek Vav. He says that the minog hayoyim, that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, is that people do charge rent. And that's halachically, that's a halachically sound minog, is that people do pay rent for houses in Yerushalayim. A person can't come here on vacation and say that he's not paying rent. It's not how it works. Nowadays, that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, he says that we do pay rent, that people do charge rent. And he brings a raya from our Gemara. What's the raya? Because the Tana says that what's the consolation prize that they gave to the host? That he gets to keep the hides. So you see, it's only when you have the hides of the kachim. So you see that it's only when you have a Beis HaMikdash, when you have kachim, that's when the host is going to get his reward. He's going to get his hides. And so the way the Marie Korkis seems to understand the Kaftar Aferach is that being that he only doesn't charge rent because he's getting these hides, so in a situation where he's not getting the hides, like today where we don't yet have a Beis HaMikdash, you're not going to be giving the host these iris, you're not giving him the iris kachim, so therefore now he's allowed to charge you rent. It's only if he's getting the iris kachim, so then he's not going to charge you rent. But being that you're not giving him iris kachim, so therefore he's allowed to charge you rent. And on that, Marie Korkis, it's in Perek Zayin of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Halacha Yedaled, Marie Korkis asked that doesn't seem to be pshat in the Braisa. The Tana seems to be saying that Stam is not allowed to charge rent. He's not allowed to charge rent because everybody has equal rights to Yerushalayim. It was simply a consolation prize, like we read, the way we learned when we read the Gemara. It was simply as a consolation prize to the Baldira, so Chazal said to give him the Iris Kachim. But it's not like a Tanai. If you don't give him the Iris Kachim, it's not that now he could start charging you rent. He's Stam not allowed to charge you rent because Yerushalayim wasn't Eschalkul Shvatim. Even if he doesn't get the Iris Kachim, that doesn't mean that now we can start charging rent. And therefore the Marie Korkis asks on the Kaftar Aferach that I don't understand. Why are they allowed to charge rent? So what if they're not receiving the Iris Kachim? The Iris Kachim was simply a consolation prize. But even if they don't get it, that doesn't mean that now they can start charging rent. So the Marie Korkis is nice to have if you want to come on vacation here, if you want to rent an apartment. So the Marie Korkis seems to say, so you don't have to pay, or at least he argues on the Raya that there's no Raya from our Gemara that they're allowed to charge rent. However, we mentioned when we learned Yuma Yud Beis Amud Aleph that I think the Teretz is Pashut, that the Kaftar Aferach wasn't ever explaining why nowadays the Gezeira doesn't apply, or why nowadays the Halacha doesn't apply. He was just explaining a Raya from our Gemara that you see that the Halacha doesn't apply. Why it is that this Halacha doesn't apply when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, the Kaftar Aferach never explained. All he was saying was that you have a Raya from our Braisa that it doesn't. And what was the Raya? What I think the Kaftar Aferach is saying is like this. He was saying that Chazal wanted to give a consolation prize to the Baldira. The Baldira is not allowed to charge rent, so Chazal wanted to give a consolation prize. They could have chosen anything in the world for his consolation prize. They could have told the one who's being idle regel, give him your bottle of wine. They could have told him, give him a candy platter. They could have told him to give the owner, to give the Baldira anything. Why is it that Chazal chose Iris Kachim? Iris Kachim is something that's only even shayich bisman we have a Beis HaMikdash. So why would Chazal choose that to be the consolation prize? On that, the Kaftar of Aferach was saying, you see, it must be that this whole halacha is only nageya when we have a Beis HaMikdash. When we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, this halacha is not nageya. You see that that's true from the fact that Chazal chose Eiris Kachim as the consolation prize. If this halacha was true even when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, then Chazal would have chosen something better, something that will exist even when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. That's what the Kaftar of Aferach was saying. He was saying, I have a raya that it doesn't exist, that this halacha is not true when we don't have a Beis HaMikdash. Why it's not true? Avad, it's not because the Baldir is not getting the Eiris Kachim. That's not why he's allowed to charge rent. Why he doesn't get into. Whatever the reason is, he was just saying, you have a raya from this Beis that he's allowed to charge rent. L'maisa, that's the minug, that Avada, a Baldir is allowed to charge rent, even in Yerushalayim.